This audio message is a production of The Fields Church, located in Mattoon, Illinois. We're a church community that wants to help you follow Jesus Christ, connect to caring people, and passionately serve others. Visit us online at thefieldslive.com.
Amen. So a couple of things I just want to say really quickly. First, I just think it was so hilarious watching you guys in our pre-worship setting when we was doing all of the sports songs. Some of y'all didn't know how to act, like, at all when that was going on. You was like, should I clap? Should I say yes, Lord? Nah. I don't know what to do right now. So for those of you who are not used to that, we do this kind of wacky stuff at the Fields every single week. So that's just how we roll. In Jesus' name, we do that for Jesus. Yes, this is amazing. It's amazing. This is something that I rarely do. I rarely send highlights and that type of stuff. But because of this amazing series that Travis has us in over these last 5 weeks, this idea of game changers, I thought, well, that would be appropriate. And so I do want to say from my heart, thank you to this amazing community, Mattoon, Charleston, EIU, who has been amazing to me in my personal development, my athletic development. It's so good to see so many familiar faces, teammates and coaches and guys that are here. Our camp was absolutely amazing. We had tripled the business sponsorship this year. And man, would y'all please clap for that, because that is so huge. Yeah. I want to spend a special shout out to my former teammate, Jamie Pilsen, and his leadership in that area. Just did a phenomenal job. I really appreciate him. I really appreciate him and his family. I know he hates that kind of stuff, but I do it anyway. And then the greatest university in the United States, Eastern Illinois University. Yeah, yeah. And so many coaches are here. My coach, Coach John Smith, is here, who coached me. Yes, turned me into the elite cover specialist that I was in the National Football League. So greatly appreciate him. Love you, Coach. Love you, Coach. Give it up for my coach. I'm so glad he's here. But the players that we had this year, the best representation of players that we have so far, the campers just absolutely love them. And the Mattoon High School football players, oh my God, were they amazing. I saw a couple of them. I see Jack Pilsen here. I see Gunner's here. Any other high school players that worked the camp here? I saw those two, but I didn't see anybody else. Would y'all give it up for those guys? They were leaders, absolutely amazing. Did a great job. And then finally, hand clap for your pastor, Pastor Travis Spencer, Joy Spencer and the Fields Church. Their leadership and sponsorship. Pastor Travis has taken on the role as camp coordinator for us and just did a phenomenal, phenomenal job. But I tell you, when we talk about this idea of what we talk about with our campers, one of the main messages that we press upon the kids is this idea of what it looks like to play to win, both on the field and off the field. And just like in my highlight clip that you saw, you know, there is something, there's something about making some sort of impact to help your team be successful. And I was able to do that in that game. That was the AFC wild card game, Colts versus Steelers, way back before some of y'all was born. Yeah, yeah. But had an opportunity to do that in a big game, right? And we take the lead at halftime. I won't tell you what happened in the rest of the game, but we took the lead at halftime, and that was great, and that was great. And so we talked to the kids about playing to win. But one of the things that we recognize, everybody, is we won't win every game. And winning and losing is not always in our control. However, what we do control, everybody, is our attitude and our effort in whatever contest that we're in. Amen? I mean, after all, no real competitor is satisfied by just taking and filling up space on a team. Right? Do I got any athletes in here? Any athletes? Do I got any former athletes? Any former athletes? Anybody lied and told your kid you were an athlete? Are you here? One or two of you? All right, okay, yeah, yeah. Well, no real competitor is satisfied by just taking up space on a team. You want to be that type of person that if you're on a team, you want your presence to matter, all right? And church, when we talk about this idea of playing to win, The question that we want to examine today is, are the things that we're presently doing, the lives that we're presently impacting, or what choices are we presently making that this week, next month, next year, or in 20 years is really going to matter? Right? Are we playing the game have any level of significance both now and eternally? And so when we think about what that question looks like for us this morning, I have three ideas that I want to throw out to you with this idea of playing to win. For my note takers, this idea of playing to win. Let me give you a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. I'm sure Pastor Travis has been talking about this. Y'all probably got this memorized by now. But verse 24 says, "Do you not realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win." Somebody say, run to win. I love that. "All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified." So what does it look like for us, church, today as believers to play to win? Three ideas for you really quickly. The first idea that I want to give you, in order for us as believers to play to win, the first thing we got to do is, number one, we have to discern the threats. We have to discern the threats. Somebody say that. Say this, discern the threats. Look at verse 24. It says, "Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize, so run to win." And the coaching point, teaching point on this, when you talk about discerning the threats, is boys, ladies, never underestimate your opponent. Yeah, never underestimate your opponent. I told you guys that we do this camp, but our football camp is a part of our nonprofit, A Ray of Hope on Earth. And our nonprofit is both youth development and professional athlete development. On the youth development side, we do our camps. We also do school speaking. And I do a mentoring program. We have a mentoring program. We mentor in four schools in the city of Chicago. We work with about 60 middle school boys every week. And we're talking to them about making good decisions and academic success and conflict resolution and, you know, all these type of different things, right? And so I was at one of my board members' house. He was having a birthday party for his little daughter. I didn't know all of the guests. And he lives in a nice house in a suburb called Montgomery, Illinois. And I'm at his house. And at his house, everybody, he has a ping pong table. You already know where this is going. Yes, yes. He has a ping pong table, right? And so I'm down there, fellas. I'm playing ping pong with my son and having a good time. And this lady walks down the stairs. And she says, "How'd you like to play ping pong with me?" It's a lady, you know. So, you know, I'm thinking, sure, ma'am. Play ping pong, you know. You want to play against the professional stud athlete like myself, I got you. No problem, right? So why don't you serve first? You know, just, you know, try to give her a couple of points, Trav, you know, for the slaughter happens. When I tell you that ball was like, shoom! Before I raised my paddle, the ball was gone. And so, you know, I wear caps and visors. And so, Jack, you know, I turned my hat to the back. And it was on. Now, my children are here. They can attest to this, my son and daughter. When I tell you I had the most epic three-set match in ping pong history, it happened down those stairs at that house. I'm talking diving for balls, all this kind of backhanding, all this kind of stuff. I mean, it was on in that house. And I'm excited to say that I triumphed in that ping pong game. I still remember the scores. It was 5 years ago. I still remember the scores. 21-19. She beat me in the second game, 22-20. But then I came back for the victory, 24-22. I'm so proud. I'm so proud. Now, I forgot to tell you, Jamie, that the lady was 64 years old. But listen, before you judge me, You need to know that this was not, yeah, this was not an average 64-year-old woman. Okay? Like this is a 64-year-old woman, right? Just a kind, just sweet. I'm cooking cookies for my grandchildren. Just a sweet, you know, right? This 64-year-old woman looked like Ivan Drago's sister. Look, this is what this woman looked like. She was just, I mean, she was that lady, right? I'm talking, and she was like Austrian, German, like the national, you know, tennis ping pong play. I'm talking when she was hitting the ball, I never seen it before. You know, you just kind of hit the ball. You're like, this lady was like, I mean, I'm like, oh my God, what is this? It took everything I had to beat her, right? I didn't do a good job of discerning the threats, and I underestimated my opponent, and it almost cost me in that game, right? And so you never underestimate what? Your opponent. Look at this. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, stay alert. Watch out. Somebody say, watch out. Yeah. For your great enemy, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. When I think about what this looks like, so many times, everybody, this is us, right? We're so busy thinking that we got it all under control that we underestimate the fact that we got a real enemy that's not playing with us. And so many times we like to flirt and play with him, but it's not a game to him, right? And even when I think about this passage, this idea of a roaring lion, right? I don't know if you guys are like me, but when I grew up, I loved watching like animal shows, particularly the big cats, and I love to watch them hunt. You know, I'm kind of that guy. I'm a Leo, so I kind of like watching the lions and the tigers and the leopards like hunt their prey. But if you know anything about lions, as beautiful and powerful and fast as they are, they're not like super fast animals. And so like, young lady right there with the glasses, can I borrow you for a minute, please? I need you. It's for Jesus. It's for Jesus. Come on, come on, come on. Bud, I need your help too. You right there. Yeah, come on. Baby, would you come? This is my buddy right here. Yes, come on, baby, come on. Come on up on the stage. Yeah. Coop, come on up, man. And the guy next to you, who's that? Jonathan, come on, John. All right. So this is the zebra pack right here. Herd, I guess is what they call zebras. Herd. Okay. So you guys are zebras. Can y'all make a zebra noise? Yeah, beautiful. That works. Okay. So you guys are over here. And, you know, when a lion is hunting, the lion doesn't show up while in plain sight, like, hi, I'm a lion, I'm about to eat you. No, the lion doesn't do that, right? But the lion literally stalks his prey. He, like, gets down like this. You guys turn your back for a minute. There you go. And so, like, he shows up where they don't see him coming. He's, like, in the tall grass back here. And then right at the last minute, it's kind of like, ah, he's out of there. I love it. Y'all give him a hand. Thank you. Thank you so much. Right? And that's what the enemy does to us when we underestimate our opponent and we don't discern the threats. Look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. It says, keep watch. Somebody say, keep watch. Yes. And pray. Right? So that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And every now and then, when we think about even our walk, sometimes, church, we can get a little too overconfident in our own abilities, in our own strength, in our own might. And Jamie, you know this, coaches, Coach Smith, you know this, some of the biggest upsets in sports history happen when a team shows up, what? Overconfident. Let me show you. This is my top three. I got my top three teams that went down because they were overconfident. Check this one out.
Every drive has a turning point. Super Bowl 42 was about to see not just its defining moment, but a play for the ages.
Third and five from their own 44. Manning takes the snap. Back to throw. Under pressure. Avoids the rush. And he's going to fight out of it. He still fights out of it. Now throws it deep downfield. Wide open Tyree, who makes the catch.
How in the world did he do that?
What a play by Manning. He eluded three sacks. And what a catch
shirt, and he was able to evade that and get away from it.
How did he get away from that?
I have no idea. I thought they had him sacked for sure.
I am still flabbergasted, and it's amazing how he didn't go down. What a job he did.
Tyree had Harrison all over him. The ball was on his helmet, but he got his other hand on it, pulled it in.
What a catch he made with the coverage that was on top of him. He held it all the way down.
It was the greatest play in Super Bowl history.
Yeah, it was just absolutely amazing. I apologize for the Patriot fans in the room if I just ruined your Sunday. But what's so amazing about that, you heard the announcer say at the end, it was the greatest play in Super Bowl history, right? One of the reasons why it was the greatest play was not just because of what Eli and my boy David Tyree did together, but because of the status of New England Patriots. You remember in Super Bowl 42, leading up into that game, the Patriots were undefeated, 19-0, right? They were heavy favorites to win that Super Bowl. And here the New York Giants, I think they were like 9-7 that season. They literally like limped into the playoffs and pulled out a major upset. And so when you're overconfident and you don't discern the threats, right, it puts you in position for a big fall. Here's my number two.
Houston at the sweep it away. 28 seconds. The crowd going insane. Carlemont shooting it into the American end again. Morrow is back there. Now Johnson, 19 seconds. Johnson over to Ramsey. The Legionov gets checked by Ramsey. McClanahan is there. The puck is still loose. 11 seconds. You've got 10 seconds. The countdown going on right now. Morrow up to Schultz. 5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
Unbelievable. How many of y'all seen the movie Miracle? For you young guys that never seen the movie Miracle, that is your homework assignment after church today. You go watch the movie Miracle. I think Disney did it, right? Very, very well done. It's a story about the 1980 U.S. hockey team that upset the Soviet Union, who I think hadn't been defeated in like 5 years. They were like that ridiculously. I think they were like 50-0 or something like that, just destroying everybody, right? And here's a bunch of kids that nobody expected to even make it to the middle round. They upset that major team and went on to win U.S. gold. One of the best stories in sports history. Here's my number one, though. This one was the earth shattered when this happened, I think.
Legs in these wide shots. He doesn't have good bounce in his knees. Buster's legs actually look fresher to me. See, Mike, the way he went back in his heels, doesn't have the good balance. His legs together as Buster's landing these. Oh, nice uppercut by Buster Douglas. Look at this. He's knocked Mike Tyson down for the first time in his career. Mike Tyson hits the canvas. He's in big trouble. He may not be able to recover. It's up to 7 and 8. He's not going to make it. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Unbelievable! Buster Douglas is the new heavyweight champion of the world.
Yeah, yeah. Did you hear the announcer? He was just like, oh my God, I can't believe this. What is going on right now? I think he was more in shock than anybody else that was going on, right? I mean, Mike Tyson, I don't know if you guys are into boxing, but at the time, he was the baddest man on the planet. Everybody thought this guy was literally could not be defeated, right? He was that dude. The undefeated heavyweight champion of the world was in literal arguments for the best heavyweight of all time. And a dude that nobody heard of show up named Buster. The dude's name was Buster. The brother got knocked out by Buster Douglas, who after that fight literally just faded away into oblivion. Nobody ever heard of him after that again. But church, just like Mike Tyson, who at his time was the undefeated heavyweight champion in the world, was literally knocked off of his platform. So many times, church, we go into situations thinking, I got this. I don't have to pray. I don't need to seek God. I don't need to seek godly counsel. You know, that lady who wears the short skirts and the high heels and the great legs at work and short skirts and all of that. My neighbor with the big arms down the block, you know, they flirt with me, and they know I'm married, but, you know, I don't need to talk to anybody about that. I don't need to get people around me. I got it, right? And so many times we walk around thinking that we got it all under control, and we forget we got an opponent that knows our weaknesses, that knows what we're susceptible to. And we walk around thinking we got it all under control. But see, he don't fight fair. And when we don't discern the threats, and when we underestimate our opponent, how many times have we seen the enemy creep in where he isn't welcome and tear down families and tear down towns and tear down communities and tear down even high-ranking government leaders like the President of the United States, right? Because we underestimate our opponent, right? But isn't it great to know, church, that when we do things God's way, the Bible says that even though this feels like an impossible situation, it feels like a situation that we can't overcome. Philippians 4:13 says that maybe I can't do it by myself, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Zechariah 4:6 says, it's not by my power, it's not by my might, but it's by thy spirit that I can be successful. And isn't it great to know that when everything is going crazy around us, when we think we can't hold on, the Bible says that greater is he that is in me than any buster that's in the world. Somebody ought to say amen right there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so in order for us to play to win, number one, we got to discern the threats. Never underestimate our opponent. But here's the second thing. We got to call the right play. Somebody say call the right play. And in order for us to call the right play, it would be a good idea for us to know our playbook. That's the coaching point for that one. Here's a scripture I'm going to give you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Basketball fans, make some noise. All two of you, praise the Lord, praise God. All right, so for my basketball people, who is the greatest basketball player of all time? I knew I was in the right room. And the last service, they was like, Steph Curry, what? What? Come on, man. Jordan, the greatest of all time, right? Happened to play for our home state, our home team, Chicago Bulls. But can I tell you something? It's something about being the greatest player of all time and not having the greatest coach. Now, there may be some Doug Collins fans in the room. God bless you. Doug is a great coach. He was a good coach. Good coach. But Doug didn't have a whole lot of plays. You know what I'm saying? He didn't have a whole lot of plays. When the game's on the line, a lot of times his plays were get the ball to Mike or everybody else, get the heck out the way. He'll make a play, right? All you got to do is look, Google him. He'll tell you that. He says it in post-conference interviews, right? But it's amazing when Phil Jackson showed up, how they actually started running, like, real plays, and they started winning championships after that. But watch this. It required something of Michael. It required him to not feel like he had to do everything all the time, but that he actually had to do something that, you know, is really good in sports. Pass the ball. Share the basketball, right? And so when the Bulls really took off is when guys like Scottie Pippen, yes, started stepping up. And guys like John Paxson started hitting game-ending baskets. And a guy by the name of Steve Kerr shooting two shots at the end to seal a championship, right? And watch this. I can tell you, that even though that eventually happened, initially, it was a fight for Jordan to do that. Because that kind of play didn't come natural to him. Because he was used to being the man. He was used to, you know, doing things his way. But look at what scripture says in verse 25. It says, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. Look at verse 27. It says, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. I'm going to read that last part again. Training it to do what it should. And watch this. The importance of knowing your playbook, everybody, is sometimes when you call the right play, it don't always feel right. It don't always seem right because it's not always what comes natural to you. Let me say it another way. You guys don't have this challenge down here, but in Chicago, we have a major challenge to our spiritual growth and development as Chicagoans. Traffic. Yes. I'm going to tell you something. Traffic has a way of driving the Jesus just right out of you. I'm saying, coach, I mean, we can be in the spirit in your car, lifting holy hands to heaven, and somebody cut you off, and it has a way of just driving the Holy Spirit right out of the car, and stuff come out of you you didn't even know was in you. I'll kick your, where did that come from? I was just worshiping. Right? It's amazing. And why does that happen? Because that's the kind of stuff that's just natural. Like, it's, that kind of stuff is naturally in us, right? But it's amazing when Scripture says, hey, I got to discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should, right? It's the thing that is unnatural. See, it's unnatural for me as a husband to love my wife the way Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. That's not a natural thing, because naturally, I'm trying to look out for me. What you done for me? How you gonna hook a brother up? All right? That's natural. It's unnatural to me to love my neighbor that might talk about me behind my back because I'm a black man and they're white. Can I talk to some real people in the room? All right? It's not a natural thing, but biblically speaking, I gotta train myself to do the unnatural, to be who God has called me to be. And when we train ourselves, watch this, knowing how God would have us respond in whatever situation we may be facing puts us in position to win at every circumstance. Amen, church. Right? And so if we're talking about playing to win and what that looks like for us as believers, number one, we got to discern the threats. We can't underestimate our opponent because that dude don't fight fair. And number two, we got to call the right play. And sometimes, everybody, calling the right play means that we got to know our playbook. And so I know if I'm to be the husband, if I'm to be the father, if I'm to be the preacher, if I'm to be the spiritual leader that God has called me to be, I cannot be missing days spending time with God in prayer and in my word and meditating before him and having people around me that's going to encourage me and bless me and put me in the right position to do the right things. I got to have it if I'm to be who God has called me to be. Do I got anybody else that's with me today? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Here's the last thing. Not only do we need to discern the threats, number two, not only do we need to call the right play, here's the last thing we need to do. We need to execute the play. Somebody say, execute the play. That sounds so simple. Here go the play. Run it. It's not always the simplest thing to do. 1 Corinthians 9:27 says it like this. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Why? Otherwise, I feel that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. And here's a coaching point about executing the play. Sometimes that means sacrificing yourself for the benefit of the team. Sacrificing yourself for the benefit of the team. See, it's easy to execute the play when you're the one that's going to get the ball. It's easy to execute the play when you know you're the one that's going to take the shot. But if you're the one that's got to set a pick for the guy that's going to get the ball, you might be feel a certain kind of way about that. Come on, somebody, all right? And I remember going into my last year of college. Coach Smith is here. He'll tell you this is a true story. My first 3 years at Eastern, we had losing seasons. My freshman year was a particularly brutal season, because that year, I believe that was Jamie's senior year, we had the best team probably that we ever had. We had like 21 seniors on the team, and we had everything we needed except a field goal kicker. Because we lost like, I think, 4 games or 5 games by like 1 point, and like another game or two by 2 points. Just because we couldn't kick a field goal, we'd have been national champs that year, I promise you. My freshman year, my first year. And that game and that season started 3 years straight of losing records for EIU. And so we got a new athletic director going into, I think it was my third or fourth, I think it was my third year we got the new athletic director. And going into my senior year, there was a mandate that we needed to have a winning season, or Coach Bob Spoo, the legendary Coach Bob Spoo, was going to be fired. And unfortunately for us, our season didn't start off very well Going into the last three games of the season, we were 3-5. It wasn't looking good. And so I remember, even in that moment, Coach knowing that his job is on the line, I remember it was Illinois State Week. And he called me into his office. At that time, Coach Fu was not handling the offense. He wasn't handling the defense. He was handling the special teams. And he called me in and he said, Ray, check this out. If you rush here, you block this punt, it's going to put us in position to be very successful. And I was just like, wow, here's a guy whose job is on the line. And what he's doing right now is he is thinking about how one individual player can be successful. Because everybody at this time, he knew that I was a pro prospect. He knew that I had a desire to play at the professional level, at the next level. And he was doing everything he could to make sure as an individual that I would be successful, even though his job was on the line. Listen, he could have chose anybody else to run that play, but he chose me. And that really blessed me and it spoke to me. And long story short, everybody, the play hands rolled out just the way Coach drew it up. I was able to rush. We blocked the punt. We went in and we scored late in the fourth quarter. We win the game. And so, of course, amen, we win the game. And then, fast forwarding, we win the last two. We go 6-5. The next year, we go 10-1. I'm already in the NFL because I get drafted, so I'm living my dream. He goes 10-1 the next year. He's living his dream. We win a conference championship, and the dude that was trying to fire him, he ended up getting fired. Look at God. All right? It's amazing how that works out, right? But after that game, I remember the reporters come up to me and they say, Ray, man, you made the big play in a big game. You had to have it. Tell us how you did it. And I remember taking the next 5 to 10 minutes of that interview, not talking about myself, because I could have. I could have exalted myself. Oh, yeah, you know, I knew it all the time. Oh, yeah, I studied that on film, and I saw it just the way it was, and I made the play, and I'm great. I'm so amazing, right? I took the next 5 to 10 minutes to talk about how if it wasn't for Coach Spoo, if he didn't sit me down, if he didn't show me exactly what to do, how to do it, I wouldn't have had this opportunity. And I also talked about how we thought he was an amazing coach and how all of us as a team were rallying around him to save his job. And amen. Because sometimes it's not about you. It's about sacrificing yourself for the benefit of the team. Coach Boo taught me that in that moment. And guess what? Several years later, he went on to retire one of the all-time winningest head coaches in EIU history and a Hall of Famer. And yeah. Some of y'all are like, what this got to do with Jesus? Hang on, I'm coming to it. 3 years later, here we are. At his Hall of Fame enshrinement. And, you know, Coach now is 85, 84, 85. Coaches, I mean, I tell you, if he was in here, he wouldn't need a microphone back in the day. That was Coach. He had that voice. Now Coach is a little more, he's got the shakes, a little more feeble. But we shared a special moment. And he didn't say a whole lot, but what I recognize about this moment is I think we both realized why he was able to be where he was and why I was able to be where I was, because we sacrificed ourselves for each other. And then later on that day, this is really special to me, we took a picture outside of O'Brien Stadium, and I didn't even know it at the time. I think Pastor Travis took this picture. But there's Coach on the left, there's me on the right. And then can you see, like, behind us? Our pictures is on the side of O'Brien Stadium. Yeah, in the same order that we took that photo. Yeah. It's something about when you give yourself for somebody else, how God will come back and bless you. Amen? And the biggest picture of this, everybody, was Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. His ministry was about to come to a close. And at this time, y'all, we're talking about executing plays. Jesus had executed a whole bunch of plays very successfully. in his 3-year ministry. You remember, he healed the sick. Yeah, he raised the dead. Yeah, particularly Lazarus, who was dead for 4 days, raised him up. Fed 5,000 men, not including women and children, with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, right? Executed a whole lot of plays, but now it was time for him to execute the play. And that's to allow himself to be tortured and crucified on the cross for something that he didn't do. And he did that to glorify his Father, but he sacrificed and he did that for the benefit of the team, right? And church, we can learn something from that. Because church, if Jesus can do that for us, can't we do that for our husbands? Can't we do that for our wives? Can't we do that for our fellow man? Bigger than that, can't we do that for him? Can we lay down our goals, our dreams, our desires, sacrifice our wants for what he wants? And it's amazing when we're willing to do that and execute the play that he has for us to run, not only does he get blessed, but those blessings come right back to us. And so when we talk about this idea of playing to win, church, I hope that this makes sense to you, that in order for us to do that and to be successful, yeah, number one, we got to discern those threats. We don't want to underestimate what the enemy is trying to do against us. And then we got to call the right play. And calling the right play may not always feel natural. It may not always feel like the thing that we gravitate to. But if we do things God's way, it always works out for the best. And then not only do we need to call the right play, but when it's time to execute it, man, we got to do it. And sometimes that means we're not the one that's feeling good at the moment. But if God's getting the glory, eventually, that's what's more important, and those blessings are going to come back to us. Amen? Let's pray right there. Father, thank you for this time in your word. And God, I pray, Lord, that when we talk about this idea of playing to win, Lord, that we're keeping you in first place and we're keeping you in mind as the one who we are ultimately playing and living for. May our lives represent you, Father God, in every area, knowing that when we do things your way, Father God, we will experience victory both in this life and the next. Father God, the people around us will be blessed, and ultimately, hopefully, and prayerfully, our goal is that you will get glory through everything we say and do. God, that's our heart's prayer. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And let everybody say, amen. God bless you, everybody. Hope that blessed you. Thank you so much.